everyone. Wow, everyone got quiet. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for coming to our meeting tonight. Welcome, and I'd like to call to order the March 14th, 2019 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And now, if everyone will stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Chaffin, for hosting our meeting tonight. We're excited to hear your presentation. Let's see. So I would accept a motion to adopt our agenda tonight.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And so next up on our agenda, we have a presentation from the Early College High School.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Right. Chaffin.
I will actually start off.
Yeah.
Cornelia Estrella, one of our seniors, and he is dynamic. I am very nervous to present with him. A few of our board members were here for our internship presentation, I guess then a couple months ago, I was blown away by him and his experience, and that's why he's here tonight, is to share his internship experience as part of our presentation. But I tell you what, before we do that, I'm going to recognize our community partners here, so one of you can hang tight. Our community partnership award was very, it's always challenging because there's so many people who give so much, but in some ways, it was pretty evident and pretty clear who that would be. Bruce Daniels and Honda Marysville have been a true partner all the way through during, I guess, since the planning of this building, really, and been a community partner, Impact 60, I could go on and on about that in so many different ways. But what I love about Bruce is that, you know, as a principal, you'd like to have cards that you have in play. I always have this card that I know when I commit to something that's really great for kids. And I know that I can look at A, B, and C to get it done. But if those don't work, I can pick up the phone and call him. And we're going to figure out a way to make it happen. It is so powerful to have that. Obviously, the AutoTech pathway that is here in our building has been huge partnership and work through Bruce and Honda Marysville, but also they've opened up the doors. And again, this is Denny Fireman right here, who is the new GM at Honda Marysville. They've opened up the doors to the students in our pathway, working directly in the service area with mentors in the field. They're doing internships. They become paid employees. They're going to become Honda certified technicians someday and make great money at 19, 20 years old. And the biggest thing is the vision is that they will help lift this community. Mm-hmm. Bruce has that vision for our community and really cares deeply about our kids, but also all kids. And so he is our partner this year. We're so thankful for that partnership. Thank you very much.
Shake your hands.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. This is LaVon C. If you guys don't know LaVon, she she drives a lot of Impact 60.
Thank you. Very much. I gotta give
thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you. It is. It's very appropriate.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, we can get it.
That's great.
Maybe like windows, you know.
You want to set down?
You want to, yes.
That's very good.
But Diane, do you want to get in the picture?
No, it's on you.
We're trying to upgrade the picture.
You have to keep looking.
There you go. That's right. Cover the set. Good. There's no pieces.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank
you.
All right.
I'm excited to talk to you tonight about what's happened in this building. I believe, without question, we are living in the greatest era in the history of education. I don't believe it's close. And I'll tell you a quick story, then we're going to do our presentation. But when I was a kid, I would run my mouth at home, and my dad would say to me, he would say, "Kenny, does the dog wag the tail, or does the tail wag the dog?" In 2019, in particular in this district, if the student is the tail and the instructor is the dog, the tail wags the dog. And it is powerful, the way that that impacts students. We live and breathe personalized learning in this building, really try to live out that mission to its fullest. So it's exciting to share with you a little bit about that tonight. And also, Cornelia is going to share, I'm more excited probably about that. We're going to do something called a Pechacucha. It's about 8 minutes long, and really, Diane made me do it because she knows I'm long-winded. She didn't want this to be like an hour presentation. 8 minutes and we're done, I promise. Okay, whenever you're ready.
I will have to say, when I saw you and Bruce in the same room, I was a little nervous.
That's fair. That doesn't.
Okay.
On my end, at least. Okay, it's going to have to go to the next slide. But anyway, it'll be like 20 seconds before it starts. But yeah, it's exciting work. And, you know, again, I feel empowered as a principal. I know that our other principals feel the same. That is not just gibberish. It's truly how we feel to do this bold work and to change the landscape of education. It's exciting. My daughter in second grade comes home and talks about standards that she's mastering and her next standards mastery. And I can't imagine that happens in many places. So in 2019, a lot of what this presentation about, and then also our building is driven from, is this idea of designing school to give students decisive life advantages. And the things that I would point to in this building that really exemplify that the most are STEM education, habits of mind, college credit plus opportunities, and a new thing that we're getting ready to start called Design U. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in the end, but essentially it's truly students design their learning. Our mission is clear. It's innovate, collaborate, inspire here in this district. And the challenge from a leadership perspective that Diane has done a phenomenal job of here and we're trying to do in our building is to figure out how we can build a culture that extends beyond people, that just is what happens in that building. And I've been working with our building leadership team to come up with a "we exist" statement, and that's what we've come up with, to continually evolve and take risks to pursue what brings us purpose and hope. So this is the litmus test that I think matters most. When we get into the core of what we do, this is the foundation. Relationships matter more than anything. And the Mount Rushmore litmus test, I talk about with our teachers a lot, and that's this. When you look at those kids that walk through your classroom every day, how many of them will put you on the four most influential people in their lives, on their Mount Rushmore? And if none of them would, you're doing it wrong, and we've got to fix that, because we can't get to the very best for our kids without that. So this is what I would look at as a personalized learning progression. A lot of education was designed to pour that water out on a beach in a hard slant, and that water just goes right out of the ocean. Kids get lost out in that deep, wide ocean. In personalized learning, the student is driving the learning. They're dumping the bucket where it needs to go, and the water is going in the areas where they're most passionate and interested. Our kids are going to make sandcastles today. I think they're going to change the world tomorrow, and it's really powerful. This is important, this slide, because we have three things that I think almost are the same in one way. They are a commodity. Knowledge, air, and water are so easily, freely available today. And that means, particularly in the area of knowledge, we have to change the game with what we do instruction. Every kid has a Chromebook. 95% of our students have smartphones. Their access to information is seamless. We have to focus on skills. It is so critically important. We're doing that in our building right now, and we're lifting that up. The world no longer cares about what you know. The world cares deep about what you can do with what you know. And so skills have to elevate equal to or greater than content. Struggling learners, the gap is skills. It's habits of mind and our ability. It's so important. STEM education, like I put at the bottom, is about equipping students to not solve a problem, but to solve all problems. That is a distinctive life advantage. So I've got a couple pictures here of a few of our interns. We're going to move from Cornelia next. But this is an example where we blend the skills through habits of mind and bring it together with authentic opportunities in an industry field to gain credentials at time, to gain money. We do have paid internships now, 17 of them. That's a huge lift. And Cornelia is going to talk about his experience next. So come on up.
So my name is Cornelia Westrea, and I'm here to talk to you guys about our habits of mind and our internship program and how both of those have allowed me to pursue and achieve many of my dreams in the very near future. Now, what you see on the screen right now are ECHS habits of mind. Every teacher, every student, and every faculty member here lives and breathes by every single one of these because it generates well-rounded people. We need to close the skill gap, and it doesn't matter about knowledge that does it. It's these soft skills that really bring people closer and make people more well-rounded. And one of the goals that I was able to achieve was getting into my number one choice for college, the Illinois Institute of Technology in downtown Chicago. Despite the fact that I was below the academic requirements, me having lived by these habits of mind and my experience with internships allowed me to be seen as a valid option for this institute to take me. And my internship is at our local city engineer's office right here in Marysville, Ohio. It is in City Hall, and I work with Jeremy Hoyt, our local city engineer. There, I get to work on multiple projects, and I have been shown a lot of information about the day-to-day life of being a city engineer. Day one, I was given just a project and told to do it. And I was taught by doing and not by watching. And that is such an impactful way to learn, and it teaches students a new way to retain and memorize information that has never been done before. This is one of my projects that I've been working on since December. This is a cost estimate spreadsheet for a project that the city is currently working on, and I have put in every single bit of information and done all the research that I can on this, and it has allowed me to learn so much more than I ever would watching somebody or being shown how to do it, as opposed to actually doing it and living it on my own. And it has allowed me and many other students that are taking internships to learn in such a great and amazing way.
I should have timed this different, not follow him.
Wow. Great.
All right. Okay. So I'm on the clock, but let me hit on this. Our internships, past, present, future. Last year's class of 2018, 30% of students participated in internships. 50% this year. 67% of our current junior class is committed in their senior year, and the vision is 100% with participation. Mm-hmm. We believe in that. There's a spot for everyone. And as we're doing this, we're growing partnerships. We're fueling our community, and we're setting our kids up to have distinctive life advantages that I hope you saw attend. So College Credit Plus is another big piece in our building, as you know. Last year's class graduated with 22.5 college credits, which is amazing. This senior class is going to graduate with an average of 33.1. We are also going to have 9 associate's degrees this year, and it's all projected right now until it's finalized. Which is amazing. I think 6 last year was probably one of the tops in the state. That is a distinctive life advantage when a kid can graduate from high school and be a junior day one. This is something I'm really excited about. It plays into this building, but also into the mission, you know, that Diane and all of you have set forth. And that started in Marysville Education Foundation. Diane and I have been talking about this for probably 3 or 4 years. We need to fundraise. We need to have money. That is completely free from school funds, that students can develop grants that are super innovative, that will drive and ultimately improve this community. And they have so many great projects and ideas, it's going to be exciting. We're working on mental health and empathy. We're using data to drive that and helping educate our teachers in that area. But, you know, the quote up there is one that we talk about with students and staff. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind, build people up, meet them where they're at, assume best intentions. And if we do those things, we know that we can support our kids and staff on really, really high levels. So that's another big thing that we're focusing on right now. Design U. This is the class that I'm going to co-teach next year along with Jody Robinson. And we are stoked. I mean, we are so excited. It is literally the tail wagging the dog. It is literally meeting with kids. What are you passionate about? What are you interested in? You, with us, are going to design your class. And it's going to impact our community in some real relevant way. I've got a million examples that I've done in the past. Not really a million, but a lot. And it's going to be amazing what our kids do. Enrollment's grown. This is my last slide. I'm almost done, Diane. Enrollment has grown. You know, kind of that shows you the longitudinal data, historical picture of our building. We have 190 students that we're welcoming in next year. Demand to come here is probably as strong or stronger than it's ever been. But I want you to know we're not going to lose the kid. We have a double teaming system where it just worked out numbers-wise where we could actually have what we're going to call a STEAM team. And that is every student that's in band, every student that's in choirs on a specific team with a specific group of teachers. We're going to meet as a part of our MTSS model. We're going to look at data. We're going to collaborate about how to support them, stretch them, and it's going to be really powerful. I could talk forever about what we're doing in this building, and I'm just so passionate. I feel so fortunate to be here. So thank you for listening this evening.
Who has the first comment or question after that?
Question?
Sure.
Design U, is it somewhat like an independent study program?
It is.
I went to a presentation that was done by Worthington Alternative High School, and it was very impressive. You've probably seen it already, but how they kind of organized their independent study program for seniors was...
Full disclosure. You're talking about Linworth Alternative in Worthington.
Mm-hmm.
Linworth is an amazing school, and I would love for what we do with internships and then capstone to become what they call walkabout. It is the most dynamic thing I've seen in that area, and it builds in 7th or 8th grade into, you know, ultimately students that leave to go to Hawaii because they want to be a marine biologist for 16 weeks, digging into the field, or to the mission ground. Ecuador, or it's a really powerful program, but it resembles that. It's built from Credit Flex, which allows us to completely design most anything that we want, award credit, and to honor kids that way. So, we're excited.
Is that where the foundation money would kick in? Like if they want to go to Hawaii or something?
It could. That's a great example. Yeah, absolutely. That could come into play, but the idea, the picture of Shark Tank that you saw, is that would be the presentation format to apply for your grants. We would have possibly a couple of you, certainly not more than three, Diane, educators, certainly, we'll probably be calling Bruce and many other people to ultimately let them present, and then ultimately we would decide on where that dollars should go.
Cornelia, I want to just commend you. I mean, Mr. Chapin was absolutely right. Your presentation was incredible. I'm so excited for you. And it's kind of interesting because I have a son who graduated in 2012. He's a civil engineer. And I just saw him last weekend. He was talking about doing these estimating projects. And the first time he did it was after he got out of college. You know, and so look at you. You're going to have 6 years experience on him. I'm going to warn him about you, okay? No, I mean, it's just amazing. So I'm so proud of you. And,
thank you.
And I'm really excited to hear what happens as you continue with your education. So.
I just want to say I saw your presentation earlier, and you have improved immensely. Outstanding. And it's nice that you've taken the opportunity that was in front of you, and it seems like you really maximized that. And I always worry, because everybody has opportunities in front of them. It's a matter of those that can step up and step into them and benefit from them. And I think you are a great example of someone who's done that. So congratulations to
you.
Also very great thanks from many other people in the community, from the city, have you've kind of been the talk of the town. So they're very impressed with you guys at that community level also, so we're all very proud.
Which really validates what Mr. Chapin has been talking about, how these partnerships benefit the students, but they really benefit our community as a whole. So,
would you be willing in a couple of years to come back and tell us where you are?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Give us some follow-up on that?
Definitely, yes.
All right. We'll put you on the agenda.
So I was wondering about the internships. What are some of the things that you on staff are doing to lift that number from year to year?
Yeah, well, I will tell you, quite honestly, Tammy Cooper is our internship coordinator, and she does a phenomenal job. But what if I had to point to one thing, honestly, Brian, it's the students and the experience that they're having. The fact that we've grown from, I think, 3 or 4 paid internships to now 17, it shows that reciprocity of value with industry, but also with our schools. And as that word has spread, we're trying to break down traditional barriers here. It's not normal for businesses and industry to have high school internships at the frequency that they are here. So that's my answer right here. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way that they do business ultimately in the industry has given us additional opportunities and other doors. But I will tell you, this summer I'm going to spend a lot of time meeting with new partners and once we get our feet underneath.
I think you're kind of being modest, too. I mean, you're being intentional about it. You talk about it all the time. It's posted on your wall. You're engaging adults in the conversation. How are we going to get more kids on board? And you grow when you pay attention and you're intentional about your actions. So don't be too modest.
Thank you.
But it's noticed for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask another?
Sure.
So this is your second or your first year as principal?
This is my first year.
Okay. And so how do you see the culture of the building? You put up the slide about kindness.
Yeah.
How do you see it right now, and what are you looking for to improve?
I think we need to grow in that area. I think every building does. And you're never, ever, ever going to have too much empathy. And honestly, the empathy becoming a habit of mine began this year. And we brought it in, and I wasn't part of all the research as it happened, but it certainly resonated with me. But it came from industry, in particular in STEM pathways, that oftentimes these really, really smart people get in the industry, and that's a gap, empathy. And so the culture building in you know, industry and corporate America and some of those settings, they feel like that was a real gap that needs to grow. And so that's kind of where it came from. But I'm certainly not going to tell you that it's where it needs to be. We need to grow that culture of empathy, and I believe we will.
Anything else? Okay, well, thank you so much. All right, next up, we have a presentation on enrollment.
Community demographics, just a quick look, talks about median income, average household size, etc. All this information is figured into these projections for our school district. Ohio Live birth counts is also included in the study as a part of that 10-year projection. When you look at the data, you'll see definitely a dip with the data right after 2008. I'm sure you're not surprised why that occurred in my birth. That continued down for a couple of years. Trend went back up around 2012-13. 2013 would be our current kindergarten class, which we saw a little bit of a bump in. Mm-hmm. That continues for about another year, and then you'll see that the trend starts going down again with like the birth of Ohio. So, again, that data is utilized as part of the projections. Marysville schools, actually a lot of work down within the zip codes that are within our school district, highlighted in red. As you can see, that kind of follows along with the Ohio live birth count projections as well. Union County student enrollment, again, all school districts across the county from 2008 through last school year have seen a negative 1.36% increase. So enrollment across Union County schools is not increasing within the last 10 years. This is just a quick look at our historical student enrollment for the school district over the last 10 years. You'll notice there was a pretty big spike 2010-11. Currently, 2018-19, we're at 5,231. Actually, as of last week, we're at 5,191 students currently. So, again, it's up and down. I know a lot of people think, like, oh, Marysville schools, you have to be exploded. Kids just have to be falling out of the buildings. You guys are growing so fast. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, our enrollment's staying somewhat consistent. It's like we just keep reloading. We're definitely going to keep a close eye on it. And that's part of why we did these enrollment projections as well. Again, just a quick glance at the historical enrollment data. For our school district over the last 10 years, as you can tell, it's pretty flat, pretty consistent. Developments, again, these are just some of the examples and some of the information Tracy utilized at FutureVend to help with her projections. Again, Tracy is extremely experienced in this field. She does work like this for public school districts across the nation. Other options too, with redistricting, enrollments, building shifts, capacities. She's extremely experienced in this field. So again, just another piece of data that she utilized. This is the projection piece of the study. Marysville schools were actually predicted, based on Tracy's findings, to increase our enrollment by approximately 15% over the next 10 years, which is approximately 777 students. And again, you can see the trend as you work across that data, that graph right there. So again, up over 6,000 predicted by 2829. Just a quick look at each of the buildings. Edgewood Elementary over the next 10 years is projected to grow by 13%, which is approximately 42 students over the next 10 years. Mill Valley, 14% over the next 10 years, which is approximately 55 students. So again, you'll see the historical data as well as the projected enrollment. Maven Elementary, 66 students, 14%. Over the next 10 years. Again, the bottom graph is the projected enrollment. Northwood Elementary is one of our buildings most impacted by the projections. Approximately 32%, 157 students over the next 10 years. Raymond Elementary, 11%, approximately 28 students over the next 10 years. Creekview Intermediate School, 128 students, which is approximately a 17% increase over the next 10 years. You can see little dips from year to year, like 24-25 were predicted to be at 915 students, and then we're back down to 897 and 28-29. So there's a little bit up and down in that figure. Buntsville Middle School, approximately 15%, 130 students over the next 10 years. Again, some up and down a little bit.
but eventually getting to 994. Marysville High School and Marysville Early College High School, again, together, these projections were done from just a grade standpoint, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade across our district. We did not separate the buildings because we wanted to see what our high school capacity was across the district. So again, approximately 171 students, very similar to some of the other buildings, about 10% over the next 10 years. Capacity, you know, what does enrollment look like? How many kids can we have in each building? So a capacity study was a part of this enrollment projection as well. So if you'd like to take a look, again, on the first column, I don't know if you can see my laser pen, but right underneath there, there's a capacity for each building. And again, please understand with capacity, capacity can change based on the educational programs that we have in our buildings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for instance, if we have specialized classrooms with students with emotional needs, well, that might take up two classrooms, where if that's in another building, that might open up two additional classrooms for 28 students in each. So it just depends on what programs are offered in the school. So again, please understand that when you look at this, that this could change. Again, look at the yellow. When you look at the yellow, that's where there's a capacity concern. You know, for instance, in 23-24, Northwood would be approximately 47 students over capacity. And then in 28-29, 10 years down the road, 54 students over capacity. 10 years down the road, Bunsell Middle School is predicted to be approximately 10 students over capacity. Again, we took a look at 5 years as well as 10 years for capacity. But again, the capacity, we can put it right next to each year's projection as well.
I would just remind you, just kind of like forecasting with Todd, the further you get out in that, the less
certainty, I guess.
The less certainty you have on the number. So
right.
I wouldn't, you know, we need to continue to monitor, but saying we're going to be 10 kids over-enrolled in 10 years is a lofty goal to know for sure.
Right.
That'd be pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Financial forecast, we want to start with a 10-year forecast.
Well, just got to be right within $10.
Oh. Yeah.
And you get a $10 bonus.
So, you know, what are the next steps? Well, clearly, the data shows us what some of our next steps need to be. So, in fall of 2019, district and building administration, we're going to get a collaborative committee together, and we're going to look at redistricting our K-4 elementaries. Again, if you remember, approximately 5 years ago, we did this very same thing. Very successful, great stakeholder input. It was a wonderful process. So we're going to do that again in fall of 19, make a recommendation to Diane, and then that redistricting will be implemented for the 2020-2021 school year. And of course, Diane stated that earlier, we're going to be closely monitoring all building enrollments. Because the further you get out in these years of projection, the less confident we are in those projections. But it gives us a really good idea. And that's the end of the presentation. If you have any questions,
I would remind the board that when we did the redistricting process in the past, we committed to holding off to do that again so no child would be impacted twice in their elementary career.
Right.
So, for example, if you were moved when you were a first grader, you would not be, moved again as a fourth grader. So we've exceeded that time frame. So it just kind of aligns with that. And we should be doing that every once in a while just to make sure we're aligned. There could be changes, and there may not be changes.
Right.
So when they delivered this one, did you say it was Tracy that you worked with?
Yes, Tracy Haley, she's the president.
Okay. Did she say anything about, like, margin of error or anything? Because I was surprised, given all the trends towards smaller populations that ended up being what was it, almost 800 predictionals, 800 additional students in 10 years. Did she say whether that was highly likely or very uncertain or put any margin of error on that result?
With any of her studies, there's always a margin of error and safety net built in. But really what impacted this was really some of the developments within our school district, the number of housing permits being increased each and every year as it goes through, which figures in not only with the live birth count, the demographics, as you can see, our demographics, median household, number of children in each household, that's also increasing for our area. So coupled with all these different data points, she magically comes up with these projections. But again, she always prefaces, you know, these are not exact. There is some margin of error, but she says it's likely.
Did she know that we're building a new stadium?
No, I did not want to do that.
That's going to, And we're doing personalized learning, too. Did you know that?
You know what? She actually said she's heard about Marysville.
Yeah. She used the survival cohort method,
she did not bring up the state.
Which is a highly reliable method statistically. The one thing you can't predict is in 5 years if a large farm would sell and a development would go in.
Right.
There's nothing on the table today to make that prediction. So she's taken into account by talking to city and county officials anything that's in the works now. So that's the one thing we would have to pay attention to, for sure.
I can tell that she put a lot of factors in.
Yes.
Because, again, we're one brand new housing development away from the projections needing to be redone.
Right. I mean, one thing that's kind of nice is that when you looked at that, the capacity study page, kind of that recap at the end, and you look at the capacity compared to that, the total number in 10 years, there was still a difference of 1,618 students, you know. So there's, even with that margin of error in there, there's quite a bit of wiggle room, I guess, you know. So,
Well, no, it's a combination of how we figured out capacity. We utilize information from Union County, building plans, et cetera, what capacity is. But then also, too, we collaborate with our building administrators about what capacity could be based on programming. Things. So we mix that kind of together to come up with what our capacities were. And Tracy felt like that was an excellent route to go.
Good. Good information to have. So, thank you very much. All right, next presentation. We have Mr. Griffin with a presentation on alternate kindergarten.
All right, so I'll kind of tee this up for you. So we have been looking at our data quite a bit, as you know, and understanding where our students are as we're moving through a personalized platform. And in kindergarten in particular, we're seeing some gaps and received feedback from teachers about, in particular, young students in kindergarten. So I would say, and I don't want to steal your presentation, so I would say that there is some pushback to maybe reconsider a kindergarten date. To me, that is polar opposite of the way our district is headed. So that is really the impetus for how we've landed where we are today. And ask Steve to come and talk. Kim Jude is also instrumental as we looked at options, you know, considering everything from preschool to different changing the grade or age to just about anything. And think we landed on a pretty cool opportunity for our community and parents.
And I do think we set a Marysville record for a combined height of back to back. Katie's got the beat on the lips. I got a beat on the hair, though. So before we begin our kindergarten like Diane mentioned, it's very much been a collaborative effort. I'm the one blessed that gets to present it to you guys. But without Ken and Kristen Jones, Jonathan, Shannon Brett's our district registrar, Tina Sherrod, transportation, food services, the principals, Amy and Glenn, Lynette Lewis, really to like think about their space, to house these things. It was really a collaborative effort to present and create something innovative. And the best part about it, the inspiration was our young kindergarten age kids, which is the best part about it. And Diane's park deadlines was a little bit of inspiration too. But it's just, I'd be remiss if I didn't take the opportunity to say how much I love being a part of this district. Let's talk a little bit about Hawkeye. So before we get into the nuts and bolts program, I think the best way to shape this, like three cornerstone thoughts that Diane alluded to: personalization, choice, and then a solution for all of our kids. Simply put, the Hawkeye program that I'm going to outline for everybody tonight is just an extension of our personalized learning efforts. We have a pocket of kids that we didn't have solutions for. And again, the easiest thing to do would be to just move that kindergarten date up to August 1st. But that takes choice away from our parents and our families, and that is not the best solution. There's plenty of kids who have birthdays past May 1st into September who do just fine in our all-day, everyday programs and are successfully achieving it and growing and meet the standards and everything that we're looking for. So by looking at the innovative side of things of how we could do this, I think that the All-K program that we're going to outline is gives choice to parents and it offers a solution for every student. And so we can meet the needs of our young kindergartners. So if we look at the actual demographic that we're talking about, it would be our 5-year-olds who have birthdays between May 1st and September 30th. So why do we consider and create this option for these kids? It's really a triangulation of our data, and I'll give you the three data points. The early literacy data, which I'll explain to you. We listen to our teachers and we listen to our parents. And then the data and what they were telling us matched. And then what we know about speech, language, and literacy development, they all told the same story. So there's a lot of data on this screen, but this is some of our early lit data, and I'll draw your attention to two areas. So in the blue box, the bar on the left is the group of kids that are currently in first grade that are your all K candidates. So they would have met that May 1st to September 30th birthday. And then on the right are kids that are older than those kids. And what we saw with that group of kids in the spring of their kindergarten years, they pretty much look the same entering kindergarten, but then in important early literacy areas, they started to separate themselves. And in particular, the box that I put up here, this is an area of phonemic awareness. And the reading nerd in me wants to come out tonight, but I'll kind of contain it. Simply put, phonemic awareness is one of, if not the essential skills that we need to develop in the left hemisphere of our early readers. And the implications of some of our younger kids not developing as far as growth and achievement in this area says one thing, but when we looked at them then in the winter of their first grade year, this box, and this box shows oral reading fluency accuracy. Again, you'll see that separation in the left column. So the most important thing that we can establish in our early readers is instant word recognition. So in reading terms, in technical terms, phonemic awareness and then orthographic word mapping. Phonemic awareness is the tie that raises that word mapping bowl. And when I saw that separation, looking at this data, listening to what our teachers were telling us, like our young kindergartners are having challenges that the older ones aren't. And then coupling that with what we know about speech, language, and literacy development, it all told the same story, and so we kind of birthed this program. So let's go into the program details. Will this replace all day, every day kindergarten? Absolutely not. So if a parent decides to enroll in the all-K program, the requirement will be after they complete the all day, which will be a half-day program, that they will go into the all-day, every-day program the following year. So there won't be an option to go from the alt-K into first grade. There's curricular reasons for that. They're not going to have unified hours. There will be different standards that we'll cover in the alt-K. So we want them to do the alt-K as a middle ground step between preschool and our all-day, every-day. Then complete the all-day, every-day, then go to first grade. So it won't be an option to circumvent our all-day, every-day that we work so hard to get. Who is eligible? We talked about the birth dates. May 1st to September 30th. Birth dates, why those dates? Why May 1st and not April 30th? Well, we looked at that demographic in that date, and because we'll have a hard cap, we had to put a time frame on that, but it really matched the data of our students. Time of the program, we'll have both AM and PM sessions offered from 9:05 to 12:05, so 3 hours, and then 12:50 to 3:50. Those times match the beginning and ending of our days. It helps with transportation and reduces the cost, so we don't have to run separate routes to get them to and from. Enrollment, we can accept right now up to 80 students. That would be 4 sections of AM, PM, a max of 20 kids. We would need a minimum of 24 students to kick the program off. That would be 12 in an AM session, 12 in a PM session. And then open up subsequent sessions by enrollment numbers. Cost, free to parents. Your standard student fees would be consistent with our other grade levels. And then the goal here is to be FTE neutral for Marysville. Transportation, we will provide transportation. Again, that unless you're within that 1 mile transportation eligibility. Locations. So Navin and Mill Valley were the schools that we chose. They have the space to house not only the all-K program, but also SAT, if we can sustain that. And then the new Cook Points Boulevard makes it really easy to run that shuttle back and forth between those two buildings. Which building will students attend? We will let parents obviously indicate their preference, and we'll try to be consistent with attendance boundaries. So Northwood, Mill Valley, Billy Mill Valley, Raymond, Navin, and then Edgewood. We'll probably fill in the gaps on what made the most sense. Parents will be able to indicate preference, but at the end of the day, the district will decide based on enrollment and transportation needs. Same policy will apply to AM, PM sessions. Parents can mark their preference, but we'll try to meet those, but it might not always be possible depending on transportation constraints and staffing constraints. Before or after school care, we talked with SAC. SAC is excited about this. They think this is going to help them sustain their program better with staffing. So as long as we can meet the minimum enrollments to sustain the program before and after school, daycare will be provided at a cost to the parents. How will we inform people? Traditional media announcements, on our website, brochures, FAQs, social media. I'll hand out some drafts of the trifold and FAQ that we put together. It will go into even more detail than what's in my PowerPoint slides. So let me orient you. So on the left side is a draft. Again, these are drafts, so we're open to feedback on these. The trifold that we created, which captures the essential need to knows, and then an FAQ that will be available for parents that will be also posted on the website. It'll go into much more detail. As far as registration, how do parents register? So we're going to have two groups here. Kids that who have already enrolled for K that now might want to consider the all K, and then kids that haven't enrolled yet at all. So either way, we try to streamline that process and do that through Shannon Brent, our district registrar. So there's her information. Registration will open this Wednesday for the all K program. And then if parents have already registered, they need to then just contact Shannon again and just switch the enrollment to the all K if they're interested. Getting us her information. So the deadline to apply. Registration will open up on Wednesday and stay open until May 31st. At that time, we'll be able to look at our enrollment numbers, building placements, AM, PM, and notify parents of acceptance into the program and the details of AM, PM, and building location by June 14th. As far as curriculum goes, heavy focus on early literacy, language, and math. But it's still going to be mastery learning. It's still going to be personalized programs. We will dip down probably into the Ohio preschool learning standards as well as the kindergarten standards. But again, we'll use our same screenings, our same assessments, look at reading profiles, look at learning profiles, and design appropriate curriculum depending on the kids that walk in the door. Special needs students, eligible. As long as you meet the date of birth requirements, we can do the same things for you that we can in the all-day every day program. School calendar will follow the exact same schedule. If there are two-hour delays, including the prime time delays, the AM session will be canceled. We'll still be able to meet the minimum kindergarten hours, even if we have the worst winter that we've ever had. 19 delays will still be okay with the three-hour program. So. I know there's probably more comments and questions, so I'll stop there and field those.
If a parent has a question about their child's readiness, who would they talk to? Is there some advice or is there some information that they get that would make help them?
Yeah, so there's a couple different avenues. In the trifold, you'll see that it's a registration, you contact Shannon. If you have additional questions, I'm the direct contact. I think it's important to initially, when we launch this program, to control the message and the information, and I've been doing a lot of the research on it, so I would like the parents to hear from me at the same time that we educate, coach up our building secretaries and principals and those kinds of things. Eventually, if you have questions of what program would be best, we would say, go to the principal of the building that you would normally go to and they can advise you. As far as a test or a screening that we would do, or you could say, you should go into this program, you should go into that. No, we'll give the KRA to all K kids and all day everyday kids, but we won't use that data to siphon off some programs and some programs. It's much more teammates. Middle ground step when you're unsure. And to get some of those younger 5-year-olds who want to kind of go there and under our watch with our teachers, which would be great.
I know my son's and his wife, they held theirs back a year. Like, this would have been a great alternative because they just felt that they did not want to throw them into another level and decided to hold each one back a year. Just for the work.
And it's easier to build that retention in on the front end than it is to have that conversation on the back end.
Well, my question was very similar to Dick's. I think I've known a lot of parents who really struggle over when is the right time to put their kid in school, and I think having a mechanism to help them is probably. I don't know. Do you expect a lot of parents will be calling you, or have you thought a lot about how you will help them navigate that decision?
I think it'll be personalized and it'll be case-by-case basis. I think with a lot of, if there's questions we can answer a lot of them on phones, building visits where we can tell me more and then give you our best professional advice.
But it'll ultimately be the parents' decision?
Absolutely. Ultimately, the parents' decision. Yeah, so we won't get into a situation where someone enrolls in all day, every day, and then we contact the parents and say, hey, let's put you down in this program. We have you in our group. We'll work with you no matter what program that you're in.
The other question I had was maybe getting a little bit too much into the weeds, but is it all about age, or is it, are there like gender differences for readiness too, or any other kind of factors besides just whether they're born in this bubble?
Gender differences, no. In the data that we had, the common denominator was the age.
Okay.
I really appreciate all the work and that, you know, it speaks so well to hear about that collaboration between all the principals and just everybody. So I'm excited too.
Yeah. I commend you and everybody that had a hand in this. I know all of you take the role very passionately, and the thing that excites me is that you're constantly, and this is true of many people, just constantly looking and saying, how can we do a better job of what we're doing? And so when you recognize that one or more students are struggling, you look at their situation, you try to figure out what is best for that particular student. And in this case, we have several students, a number of students that might benefit from this. And so I really appreciate the thoughtfulness, first of all, to go to the book and to recognize, you know, the struggle that some kids are facing. And then coming up with a very creative way to eliminate that hurdle, that barrier that that child is facing. And hopefully, you know, parents will take the opportunity to be very thoughtful about what's best for their child. And this thing just goes.
At the end of the day, it's always about what's the best way to teach our kids, and this is another option.
Yeah. And then I also think, you know, as kind of representing our community and taxpayers, you know, you look at the fact that you put so much thought into this, that it's FTE neutral, you know, we're not hiring somebody extra to do this. You know, we're providing an additional option and choice for our families at no cost to our community.
Right.
So a minimal, I guess the only cost would be a little of transportation. So congrats on that too. Job well done.
That's an important note. So it doesn't open until Wednesday,
right.
And then if you're already enrolled, you call and re-enroll, and that's just a phone conversation where you got enrolled, and enrolled will just be kind of staying personal.
And you'll be able to send that deadline out if it's not completely filled.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
So family moves in August.
Yeah.
We have a spot. Absolutely.
Thank you.
We'll be excited to hear.
Yeah.
What
happens? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Do you have any public participation?
I would say not.
I don't believe there's any public participation. I didn't see anybody walk in to sign up. Okay. Then next on our agenda, we have the High Point Report. Ms. Savage.
Okay. So from the meeting last week, we had a teacher presentation from Upper Side of the Valley. And one of the items that was featured was their career-based internship. So the internship idea is gaining traction across the many school districts. People are really observing that the students need to get that interface with the business world, working world. In addition to the presentation, the two gentlemen talked about their internships, was also a contest that Upper Scioto Valley did called a senior interview contest, which was basically mock interviews done by community members for all members of the senior class. And the top three people were given prizes at the board meeting, a kind of interesting way of building those real world skills as kids move into their careers. New internships agreements were signed off. Champaign County Animal Welfare Group and Todd Marysville signed their internship agreement. And then getting ready for scores of national competitions. So the FCCLA, which is kind of the home ec type culinary arts, FFA students going to Washington, D.C., national DECA competition, business internships, national competitions. So a lot going on as far as technical skills being shown on the national stage from our Central Ohio community. And then kind of big news, Don Klingler was hired as Director of Manufacturing at the High Point home campus, and he is a former manager for KTH, which is a Tier 1 Honda supplier. So he has vast 30-plus years experience in manufacturing, so I think he'll be an excellent resource for High Point and their new Sloan Technology Center. So that's all I have. Oh no, but a couple things. Dates. The Ohio High Point District Showcase is April 24th from 6 to 7:30, and that's when all the juniors and seniors present their projects related to their future career choices. And then that's board meeting is on that.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Okay. Next, we have the superintendent's report.
Just a couple things. Wanted to follow up with all of you. We had visitors from Tennessee and Michigan, a variety of levels, some from the State Department, some teachers, some administrators. They visited Northwood, Creekview, and Early College to get a feel for what personalized learning looked like. And this was unique for us. The visitors this time actually had more of a secondary focus. So it was a good experience for them to see it in action at the elementaries, but also up here at the Early College. So that was, I think it was last Thursday and Friday. So that was very successful and built some good partnerships and sharing opportunities, I think, in for the future. Also, we hosted the Union County Leadership Group. It started actually in this building, but it actually highlighted the high school options that we offer in the district, Tri-Academy, MHS, and ECHS. Steve isn't currently in the leadership group, so he organized that for them. All three Union County superintendents spoke about how education has changed and kind of the platform for, I talked about how education has changed, but also the platform for what they would be experiencing the rest of the day. So we received very positive feedback. Lots of things people didn't know about. It gave us a great opportunity to highlight some of the new pathways also at the high school. So that was very successful as well. I wanted to congratulate our wrestlers for a great season and certainly state qualifiers that finished up last weekend. So we were able to have a 7th and an 8th place, so we'll be honoring them next month, but that's quite an accomplishment. Also, the Japanese speech contest, we had a 3rd place But we also, I think more impressively, 6 of the 8 finalists were our students. Mm-hmm. Super proud of them. And the great positive, I believe Ia sent an email, I'm not sure if you guys, about their accomplishments. So proud of their efforts and accomplishments. Quickly on enrollment, at this time, I think Jonathan even talked about it a little bit. We're up about 39 students from this time last year. That's all I have.
Okay. Questions or comments? I'd just like to shout out also our wrestling coach, Sean Andrews,
yes,
who received,
two times
yes, excellent, excellent recognition and award there. Okay, treasure report.
I just have a couple quick things. Our fiscal year 20 budgets from departments and buildings have all been submitted, so we're now in the process of kind of paring those down, kind of fitting them all into the five-year forecast and seeing how that will, if they all fit in there or not, or if we need to go back in and make some changes. So then also we'll be working on the May update to the five-year forecast, bringing that to the next meeting. Our audit has been completed. It was a clean audit. There were no findings, so that was good news.
That's great news.
And also, thank you. Also wanted to note our brick fundraiser, our engraved brick fundraiser for the stadium project now has kind of a deadline. We've got an April 5th deadline to get those in because there's a certain amount of turnaround time to get those engraved, and then the contractor needs to have them on site so that they can start the project. So we're kind of making a push for the next month to finish those and finish strong with our brick sales.
I had a question about that, Todd. So I know I bought one a while back, like some time ago. Mm-hmm. How do we find out what size we did or what?
You can get with me. I'll have that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And I also have the other to give you, too.
Yep.
I have a quick question on your budget process. I'm just kind of curious. So, like for the buildings, do you give each building a certain amount of money, or do the buildings kind of start out and say, this is how much we would like?
So at the building level, we do a per pupil amount. So each building starts with a certain amount per pupil. So if their enrollment goes up or down, that's their budget will fluctuate. And then at the department level, it's more of the zero-based where they just have to, give a rationale behind what they're requesting.
Okay. Let's see, my report. I know we had a community coffee this last weekend, and apparently Nan and Brian had a nice conversation with each other. So our next one will be...
I just went around the coffee shop and asked people, do you want to talk about the schools?
Yes.
I'm trying to eat my breakfast.
No takers.
We're going to keep doing it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's a way for people to talk informally.
Exactly. Yep. I think it's been a great thing. So our next one is April 13th. So I'm sure before that time, Nan will touch base with us and we'll decide who can cover that one, who would like to cover that one. I just want to talk a little bit about over the past few weeks, I've attended two Union County Chamber of Commerce Business Impact Breakfast, and the first one was on February 28th, and it was the Future of Smart Ag. Really interesting, talking about technology and how technology is impacting agriculture, and since we are such a hugely agricultural community, it was fun to listen to. It was held at Select Sires, and there was also a professor from Ohio State who spoke a lot about technology and impact on agriculture, but the highlight was that he spoke about one of our graduates, Jenna Lee, and commented on what an excellent student she is, and she had helped with some of the research that she's doing. So I just wanted to bring that back and give a shout out for Jenna. And then March 7th, there was a Business Impact Breakfast on housing update for Union County. Talking about just with all the growth in Union County, the need for additional housing. Nan's husband was there, yeah. But, it's just interesting. But one thing that really came out of this is that with all this additional housing, we've got a huge need for construction workers. So I know High Point has that construction thing, and I know that you know, some of our students here are involved in learning some of those skills, but it's a, any like HVAC, all of those peripheral kind of jobs that go along with building. So, you know, that's, I think that would be a great area to, you know, make those connections. Last night, Diane and I attended the Central Region Conference of Ohio School Boards Association along with Nan and Dick, who were both recognized with the Ohio School Boards Association Award of Achievement. So I want to congratulate them. That's really, it's very well-deserved recognition of just of their commitment to learning and the leadership that they provide on our board and for our district and community. So thank you very much for that. And really only, I think it was about 70 school board members were recognized statewide, and they commented that the central region accounted for about half of those recognized. So good job. Continuing education opportunities for us, the Board Leadership Institute is April 26th and 27th. So if you're planning to attend that, I know Dick's already registered. Just contact Todd, and he'll get you all set up. And then a little ways in the future, but the Capitol Conference is November 10th through 12th. And then one other thing I just would like us to kind of start thinking about, sometime probably in June or July, I'd like to schedule a board work session for our self-evaluation and planning for next year. So probably send out a text or email or something and kind of get an idea of what everybody's summer schedule looks like and see if we can't get that scheduled. So that's it for me. Mr. Smith, legislative report.
I sent out the report, so I think all of you should have received that. There's just two things that I'm going to highlight as you read the others. One of our goals as a board is to advocate for public education. And as a part of that, last several years I've gone to Washington as part of the National School Board Association lobbying effort. And I included a paragraph from an email that I received. Our focus this year was special education and individuals with Disabilities Education Act. And when we arrived, we were told that we shouldn't expect to have anybody really either listen to us or hear about us. That was not generally on the legislative radar this year. And the email indicates that the House Education Committee chairman has made this an important issue for his committee's discussion. And so that's kind of exciting that you can go and you can talk to the elected official and with a very realistic understanding that they've got lots of things that they're expected to do. Hopefully, the effort that this board supported helped to move that issue up onto the table so that we get some consideration. And the second thing I want to mention was that on the 19th, the band that will be attending the Legislative Conference in Columbus, and we got a big what's going on with the legislature, and we have a meeting set up with Representative Richardson on that day.
Great. Good report. Thank you very much for advocating for public education in our district. Let's see. Back here. Safety and Drinking Report.
That will not be until next month.
Okay.
I do know Jonathan can help out because I was gone when we had our last meeting, but I know that the forming groups and we, correct, separately.
Subcommittees are older than Jason and I.
Right. So the subcommittees on all, like the alcohol, marijuana, opiate, so all the subcommittees are now putting together dates to meet separately. So we'll know more about that before the meeting, right, in April? Yeah. So we'll be meeting probably before that date, and then April we'll know more on that.
Okay. I know, I think Dave Allrath from the foundation went to
a meeting
this morning, and Holly Zweisig presented. He was talking about medical marijuana.
Ugh.
And yeah, just kind of all the issues that
abound. Oh, I'm dealing with that.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of scary. Okay, next up, need a motion to approve our draft minutes from our February 21st regular meeting.
So
moved. Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Are there any corrections, comments to the minutes? If not, roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, we need a motion to approve our treasurer CFO action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any comments, Todd?
A couple quick notes. One, just if you may look at the revenue on the cash flow and mm-hmm. notice some large variances, that always usually happens this time of year when we're getting our advances from a real estate revenue. Mm-hmm. We should get our final payment this month, and then we'll find out how close we were with our projections. And then also just thank our donors. Mm-hmm. You'll notice multiple brick purchasers are mm-hmm. recognizing on there as well.
Okay, great. And I know there's also Nissan International, who was a sponsor for the Evening of Japanese Culture that's coming up, so thank them. Any questions of Todd? Okay, then roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And next, I need a motion to approve the superintendent action items.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Power.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith.
It's not anything out of the ordinary, I don't think, this time. I'd like to highlight a couple things. Mm-hmm. Retirement of Mike White, our business manager, for September, the beginning of September, I think it's mm-hmm. September 3rd or 4th.
Yep.
So certainly want to thank Mike for his contributions and hard work, and certainly with Mike leaving, a chunk of our history will go away as well. So, but wish him well in that endeavor, and we'll be looking forward to starting that process shortly, maybe so there could be a little bit of overlap in that transition.
Right. Well, it's going to be an exciting final few months for
right.
him, isn't it? I know, just a small project going on.
Right? We have supplementals, some volunteers. You'll also see a bus bid for a bus mm-hmm. through Meta and several overnight trips as well. There was a BPA trip from Early College that is actually right. tonight. The advisor from Ohio High Point did not realize she also had to get it approved through us, so that was why there was a delay. She actually had it approved with High Point earlier, so.
Okay.
And what's the Spain trip?
You want me to hold it?
It's not until 2021.
Correct.
And what group is that for?
Middle school.
Middle school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We need to start working on their fundraising, so.
Is anybody allowed to go? Because it looks really fun.
I know. I was looking at that too, Brian.
It seems like we're always looking for chaperones.
Oh. Yeah. No, I want to go and have fun.
¿Hablas español? ¿Hablas español?
No, I don't do that.
Okay, okay.
Never stopped me from trying one before, though.
Okay.
I think their goal was to get it on the books early so they could fundraise.
Right.
Okay.
I just wanted to acknowledge Mike White and the hard work and dedication that he's provided to the school district.
Mm-hmm.
He took a position and things grew and he had to grow with it. And it was long hours and sometimes he was called on to do some pretty thankless kinds of things. And so really appreciate that. I hope his return is really wonderful.
How long have you been with the district?
I was thinking it was 11, and Jonathan just said 10, so in that ballpark.
Yeah, he's sure he's been through a lot then.
Yeah, yeah. So I think Bunzold was a project, you know, that we hear about from him quite often.
Oh, yeah, I bet. That was challenging,
right,
wasn't it?
It had its ups and downs. And,
yeah.
And just he's got a set of resources in the community and developed strong partnerships with people at the city mm-hmm. office as well, so, mm-hmm. and county. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know the one of the other trips was for the when you talked about JASCO earlier. They also did the first ever Japan Bowl, which is like a Jeopardy-like or a whatever trivia kind of a thing. Not trivia, whatever. We'll just say Jeopardy-like. They had buzzers and stuff, but our team won, and they get to go to Washington D.C. for the national competition. So that's pretty exciting. What?
I'd like to welcome Anthony Given back.
Yes.
My son's favorite math teacher ever. So he was kind of excited, but he's long graduated. But
for Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I know. Well, it's going to be exciting because he comes back with some incredible experiences that I think are just going to make him even more impactful for his students. So,
yes.
Exciting. Okay, roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Mr. Smith, do you have any comments or questions?
Yeah, a couple of things. I had an opportunity to go to the spring choir concert, and that was just incredible. Once again, we had an opportunity to just see some amazing talent. The teachers and the staff that were all involved in that, the support of volunteer parents, helping with the equipment and doing things behind the scene and so forth, just made it a fantastic evening for everybody that had an opportunity to be there. So that was wonderful. We also wanted to mention that we want to thank our police department. I want to thank whomever called them this morning. We had an incident and the police responded very quickly. Schools all reacted. Well, it turned out not to be a dangerous situation, but it's nice to know that there's a tremendous amount of coordination within our community and that people are constantly looking out for the safety of our children. And I would encourage people, if you see something, and you hear it all the time, see something, say something, better to make a call and find out that there really was not a problem than to see something and not react and have a situation that is tragic. It's great to see the stadium project. Whether today was beneficial, but and it's nice to see that things are moving forward on that. I was going to mention that Raymond had their final safety drill for the year, and that was coordinated with the sheriff's department. So thanks to the sheriff for participating in that building. And filling the role that the various department does for those in town. And last, and certainly not least, I'd like to congratulate Ann on her accomplishments. Well deserved, and it is a real pleasure to work with you on this work.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, thank you, Dick. You have been a great leader on the board, so I appreciate your leadership and as well as Sue and the rest of you guys to help bring me along and up to speed. I'd like to say thank you for bringing us here to Early College High School and providing such a wonderful presentation. It's always exciting to see what's going on for Early College High School. Thanks, Steve, for the presentation on the early pre-K program. I think that's going to be a great addition to our lineup here in the Marysville School District. And thank you, Jonathan, for the presentation on the population growth. And looks like you don't want to build a new school for the next 10 years.
Not on wood, yeah.
Just a shout out to the Marysville Show Choir, fourth grand championship.
Wow.
So that's awesome, awesome accomplishment for them. And I just wanted, I believe it's April 1st is the deadline for the paver sales for the stadium project. And that's coming up kind of quickly.
Yeah.
And so I want to make sure that, you know, the April 1st date deadline is in everybody's mind. It's easy to push something like that off and say, I'll do that next week. And then
that's right.
Too late. So,
And I've heard that it's very easy to do it online.
Okay.
Yes. My boss actually went through that process today, I think. And he's like, and he was very impressed. He says, wow, that was very clear, straightforward. Easy to do.
Yeah, okay. Very good.
Stephen, Jonathan, thank you for your presentations. And Kenny, thank you for hosting us. And I love your enthusiasm. And it is definitely a blessing to have you back home here. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I just wanted to echo the others that were thanking the presenters. I feel like I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, just well constructed to help us get a little glimpse of what you guys are working on. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your leadership here at the Early College High School. I'm really glad you're here. I like your vision, your enthusiasm. I think we're going to some great places in the district and in this building particularly.
I was also going to mention Mill Valley as a closing. I think certainly we had a difficult situation today. I want to thank, first of all, Mrs. McGlynn for keeping a cool, calm demeanor, which isn't always easy in those situations, and the police department certainly for their responsiveness and concern. It's I'm sure she has some, you know, personal interest there,
yes.
But it certainly was nice to pull up when I got there and be surrounded and know that our kids were safe and everyone was acting on behalf of keeping that to be the case. So super happy for that. We sent out a communication to parents, so hopefully you saw that today. I received two follow-up emails and parents that were very grateful for the communication and grateful for the school district and the police department, so I wanted to make sure we said that as well. Mr. Chafin, you continue to be the ambassador for hope for kids. I continue to be impressed with the legacy you're establishing here in the building and will continue on, and super proud of the work that you have. You know, we talked about that neither one of us liked the idea of good to great, right? but you continue to push the needle and make things better and continue to not be satisfied with where you are. And it makes my heart full for kids. Job well done.
Mm-hmm. Todd, did you want to say anything?
No.
Nope. Okay. I know. Kenny, I just had to laugh when you were talking about Design U and you said, I'm really stoked. Like, when is he not really stoked? You know, I mean, just listening to your presentation, I think all of us would love to be back in high school and here. So I appreciate your vision and the leadership and how you're focusing on the students, but also your staff. You know, I read that a lot in your board notes about how you're really trying to support them in this change in pedagogy. So good job. And Steve, we're really excited about the opportunities for our families. Jonathan, excellent job going over the numbers. Yeah.
Weekend, I do want to tell you guys, I did the Alice training for my work.
Oh.
Because we had to protect the courthouse and the judge and stuff. Oh my gosh. You talk about.
Was your heart racing?
Oh, we were barricading the judge. It was amazing. And so what I now fully appreciate with the teachers.
seriously have gone through, because I'm telling you, when you start hearing gunshots, even though you know that they are not real, that goes off in your mind that, I mean, it was just incredible to try to get yourself barricaded in somewhere. And so I the adrenaline factor, even though that's what we worked in, it was amazing. Yeah. So those teachers, I know what they went through now.
Let's see. I wanted to just comment on, I noticed that on our volunteer list for some of our sports, it's always great to see some past Marysville students coming back and helping out in the programs. I saw Austin Farr, Casey Cepeda, and I'm sure there's probably some other alumni that I just didn't recognize their name, but you know, what a wonderful opportunity for them to share their experiences and mentor our current students. Also, the FFA banquet is this Saturday at 5 o'clock. I'm not sure if any of you are able. Good? Okay. Then I'll look for you there. I'll be there. Okay, yeah. And then that Japanese Evening of Culture is Saturday, April 6th. And I believe you can get tickets in advance. I think for $10, and at the door they're $15. But Saturday, April 6th from noon to 5 p.m. at the high school. And then kind of ending up with your comments, Diane, I think especially this week, I just cannot tell you enough how much we appreciate the updates that you send us as a board, but more importantly, knowing that that, you know, the information is going out to our parents as well, and in, you know, a timely manner, with good factual information, and also always including those reminders too, that all of us as parents, you know, you can remember back to the days when your kids are little and you're just trying to survive, and you kind of forget about some of those things, like reminding your kids about not talking to strangers. And so it's just, it's nice to see those emails coming out, and can't tell you how much we appreciate that. So with that, how about a motion to adjourn? Okay, motion by Ms. Savage. Second. Second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr.